Thank you for joining us. If you're a guest of ours, my name's Craig, and it's wonderful to welcome you to Central today as we continue our series, Hardwired, exploring how God has hardwired his vision for his church into the hearts of all who are his. Now, in week number one, I shared that if God is doing a work in individual believers' lives, then the net effect of that is going to be that his church changes. If we change, his church changes. If we grow to be more like Christ, then basically the church invisible, the church universal, grows to be more like Christ. And we should be seeing that in the way the church does things. And one of the ways we're seeing that is in the area of missions. We have this emerging missions movement that is happening as missiological entities, parachurch ministries, charitable organizations, recognize that simply for them to do ministry without actually tying that into the church isn't necessarily as full as it needs to be. So they're becoming more ecclesiological, more church-like in the way they do their mission. In the same way, what is also happening is that churches like Central are waking up to the fact of, wait a minute, if we are going to grow more like Jesus in the way we do things, then we can't just be focused on being the church ecclesiologically, we have to basically focus on missiology too. So you have churches and missions organizations coming together, and now they're trying to figure out, how do we do ministry together? How do we do that? How do we work in such a way that we no longer have to keep one another at arm's length, but actually start to work together? That's week number one. And we shared how we believe that over the last 5 years, we've been pursuing this and we're starting to see incredible fruit in the way that we do it. Now, last week, Corey shared about how we're doing that overseas. We've shifted. We're embracing local leaders leading local churches in strategic places around the world. And we actually believe that while it still makes sense to mobilize and motivate and equip and commission people from our own congregations to go overseas, the reality is that local leaders understand local cultures, speak local languages far better than we do. And it makes an awful lot of sense to empower local leaders. And as we've started to do that, we've started to see amazing things happen. And Corey shared how over the next few years, we believe we will go from 4 locations overseas to 9. One of those is going to be a new work, but a number of those are going to be this continuation of what has happened locally. So, for example, in the Ukraine, we partnered with Peter Marchenko, who leads Transformation Church in the Ukraine, way back in 1990-1991, well before I was here, well before many of you were here. But over the last few years, we have basically embraced this idea of partnering with local leaders, leading local churches in strategic places around the world, and we really did double down on what we were doing there, and the fruit has been amazing. 13 churches have been planted over time, but 3 of those churches are now going to be working with Peter in the way that we work with churches over here. In a sense, we're creating a Water's Edge family in the Ukraine, churches partnering together. Now, this work has been so amazing in the Ukraine that a little while ago, I got a letter from the Ukraine. Now, I get a lot of letters. This one's signed by 7 people. Some people don't bother to put their names on the letter. I don't usually read those to you, but I thought this would be a good one to read to you because it's not just to me, it's actually to all of you. And I think this is symptomatic of what happens when we truly partner with someone to build the Church of Jesus. Listen to what they write. Dear Pastor Craig and the Water's Edge family, over the past few years, we've experienced what it is like to be a part of something more than just a partnership. There are quite a few areas that we have rethought, and we have continued to do so since we joined the Water's Edge family. We would like to thank you for your openness to ministry in Kiev and around the world. A lot of things have started to change in our church and in our vision lately. This is in part due to the example that we see in you. We so appreciate the contribution you make to spreading the gospel in the Ukraine. We value your vision, and we are so happy to be a part of it. And thank you for your financial blessings that help us grow and invest both in new people, new churches, and in the reproduction of new leaders. We want you to know that we pray for you, for the development of Central, the Water's Edge family, and for a vision from God for you and for the entire team. It's a great honor for us to serve God with all of you and find something for ourselves in your good example. Sincerely, all the pastors of Transformation Church, Peter, Vladimir, Boris, Alexander, Sergey, Ruslan, and Vasil. It's just amazing to see what's happening there. We took a team of people a little while ago, and when we went there, they were running about 500 or 600. Right now, they're just starting a third service, and we hear they're running about 1,000 people on the weekends. It's amazing to see what happens when we truly partner together with the church. And this is how God has hardwired this church for mission. We ultimately believe that what God is calling us to do is to partner with local leaders, leading local churches in strategic places around the world. Notice that word partner, because by partner, I actually mean something specific. By partner, I'm not talking about we are committed to church planting. It is very popular these days to talk about church planting, and church planting is important. Starting new churches is important, but I want to make it plain. I want to make it clear. We do not have a commitment to plant churches. We have a commitment that is far more radical than that. We have a commitment to build churches. We have a commitment to build churches. Now, I realize it's kind of dangerous to do that because you're sitting in an auditorium that's pretty big, right? Craig, it's pretty clear that Central has a commitment to build churches. Look at this. No, I'm not talking like that. I'm actually talking about the type of work with the church that Jesus talked about. And it's really interesting. When I have conversations with people who say, Craig, can you kind of help me understand your multi-church strategy, your multi-site strategy, your network family, because it doesn't make sense. I say, okay, it's pretty easy. At Central, we don't have a commitment to build the kingdom and plant the church. We have a commitment to plant the kingdom and to build the church. And they're like, okay, that's a question of semantics, isn't it? And I'm like, actually, no, it's not semantics. Jesus basically said that he was going to build his church, not plant it. And then they have a conversation with me, go, Craig, wait a minute, you're too focused around the church. I mean, don't you recognize that Jesus only spoke of the church twice? Aren't you in danger of making an ecclesiological mountain out of an exegetical molehill, like what I did there? Aren't you in danger of making more of this thing than actually Jesus did? I'm like, no, I don't think I am, because I actually believe that when Jesus talked about the church twice, he did so intentionally to lay a foundation for what churches need to do to ensure that the church of Jesus Christ is built. And where we see our ministry moving forward over the next few years is to continue to build on what was started 5 years ago when we launched into this vision. And it's all built on the words of Jesus himself. So what I want to do is I just want to lay that foundation. I want to go back to the two words that Jesus did speak about the church. And I want you to understand. I want you to see why we do it this way. And I'm going to end this message by bringing it back home to that point, that the church of Jesus Christ will only be as healthy as we are healthy. What is happening in your life personally is so important for what is going to happen in the life of this church nationally and globally. What God wants to do is not help you grow fast. What God wants you to do is to help you grow well. We do what we do because Jesus wants his church to grow. And to grow requires building, not simply planting. So Jesus said two things about the church. First thing he said is this: I will build my church. I will build my church. The scripture here is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Peter is the one who's being addressed. And Jesus says this: I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. On this rock, I will build my church. There is conversation about, okay, What is the church being built on? Is it being built on Peter himself? That's the Roman Catholic interpretation, that the Pope is basically Peter, and on the leadership and the authority of the papal structure the church is built? Or the Protestant interpretation of this is essentially, no, it's not upon papal authority that the church is built, but upon the confession of Jesus Christ that Peter has done on this rock. Whichever way people go here, what is 100% clear is that Jesus says he would build his church. He does not say that he will plant his church. He says he will build his church. Now, these words of Jesus, I believe, are intentional. These words of Jesus focus us on the intention of Jesus and on the strategy that Jesus has in mind. Let's deal with intention first. When Jesus used the word build, he was intentional. Build has a particular meaning. It is used consistently the same way, even in the parables of Jesus. Build means to build a house. It means that something is being constructed. It's being made. It's being fashioned by combining the parts. It's being built. Jesus is intentionally using this word. Now, if you're a student of the New Testament and a student of the ministry of Jesus, you realize that in the New Testament, both of these words are used, right? Building and planting. Planting, however, when you look at this, actually is used to address what happens when the seeds of the gospel are sown or planted. Planting refers to the action of those people who are sowing the good news of Jesus. Planting is present. Sowing is present. But Jesus doesn't use the word sow or plant for his church. He uses the word built. And the idea you see being kind of played out over here. Rachel, who leads our local ministry, local mission, planted seeds. In the New Testament, the gospel is planted into our hearts. And as it's planted, the Spirit waters this, and then it starts to grow. And then as it starts to grow, these individual seeds start to grow. What happens is from this growth, the church is built. We talk about kingdom planting and church building because we believe that the right process here is that the fruit of the gospel growing is ultimately that the church is being fashioned, constructed. Peter uses it this way too. 1 Peter chapter 4, I can't help but think, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I can't help but think that as Peter was writing this, he was thinking about the very words that Jesus spoke to him in Matthew 16. Peter, on this rock, on your confession, I will build my church. Okay, how was this built? Look at 1 Peter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Notice this, please. Those who God chooses, God breaks. Hold on to that for the end. If God is going to use you, he's going to have to break you. For you to grow well, you may need to be broken. Rejection, why? Because we're precious, okay? He's precious. You also, like living stones, hold their living stones. See, there are a thing called dead stones, and there is a thing called living stones. A dead stone are those rectangular things, okay, that we put in buildings with a layer of cement. They're dead because there's no friction. Living stones has the idea of those stone walls that are built where the stones are different shapes and you kind of have to force them in there, and as you force it in, there's friction. See, the growth that comes from the seeds of the gospel ultimately brings forth growth. It's a living growth because they're alive, that are now being fashioned together, pieced together in an entity called the church. And whenever you get to people, get close to people, basically there's friction. There's friction. So these living stones are being built, same word, into a spiritual house For what purpose? To be a holy priesthood. That basically means that we all have access to God. We can all know God. Prophethood of all believers is in the New Testament. We can know God's will, but also offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, as the growth of the gospel comes in front of us, comes up from within us, it causes us to be put together with other people so that the church of Jesus is built. Now, what's interesting in 1 Peter 2 is if I were to read on, I haven't got time to do that. In verse 9, Peter talks about there being a holy nation. From this growth of the gospel and the bringing together, fashioning together of the pieces, there is ultimately not simply a local church, there is a holy nation. See, Jesus is building his church invisible. His church universal, not simply a local church. At Central, we are committed to building the church of Jesus Christ in America and around the world because that's Jesus' focus. We plant the seeds of the kingdom in order for the church to be built, not planted. Planting and building are two very different actions. They're both biblical, but they're very different. They're both in Scripture. Look at this reference. I could go to many. Matthew 21, listen to another parable. This is Jesus. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. You see this? Plant a vineyard. What happens when you plant something? It starts to grow. When something starts to grow, you need to make room for it. The room, the space Jesus is making for it is called the church. It's the church. He put a wall around it, dug a vine press in it, and built. Same word, a watchtower. You see this? He makes room for the growth. Church planting is biblical in its intention, but it differs from what we do in terms of its strategy. Church planting movements are not wrong. I just don't think they go far enough. Church planting movements and church building movement that we're a part of have exactly the same intention. The vision is the same. We want to basically see churches established. Why? For the gospel of the kingdom to be proclaimed. The vision is the same. The objective is the same. The objective is not simply that the church exists, but that the church grows and reproduces. The objective is exactly the same. Talk to a good church planting movement. It's never about the church being sustainable in 3 years and 5 years. That's one of the measurements. But it's never about that. It's about reproduction. The objective is exactly the same. The means of achieving it is exactly the same. Reproduction, growth happens as individual believers become more like Jesus, Ephesians chapter 4, and are equipped for the works of service that God has given to this local expression of his body. The intent is the same. The vision is the same. The objective is the same. The means are the same. What's different is the strategy. And we're seeing this played out right before our eyes, aren't we? Rachel planted. And because she wanted to plant well, she didn't just plant it, water it, give the financial investment to it, and do anything else. No, she actually came back to check on it, see if anything else was needed. That's what good planters do. There's coaching relationships. So much goes on to make sure that this thing that's been planted grows and then reproduces. But we don't build, we don't plant. We build. Clear. In order to build this church, Ethan needed to make all of the preparations to do it. And he's busy working through this, putting all of the pieces in the right place. He's building. At Central, we're not simply committed to planting churches, we're committed to building them. The strategy is different. And you know what that means? That basically means that we stay there until the work is done. We stay there until the work is done. We're involved in every small piece. You know how much more time and energy it costs us to build the church. It costs us a lot. So when we started this 5 years ago, and I tried to explain this 5 years ago, we had Pastor Torrin and Jordan were on staff here, and we said that we are launching them out to start this multi-church family of ours. We planted that church. We invested $450,000 in the start, and then we purchased a building for them, which is $850,000. That church is growing. It's established. It's now at the point where it is now looking at what it can do for other people. We started that, but not only did we start that church, at every point in this journey, we've been asking ourselves, okay, how can we help you grow well? What do you need? And so this commitment to build puts all of the pieces in there for a healthy local church. What we've discovered is local churches all need certain things to grow. They all need the same things. You can't be a church today without some form of communication. When you have staff, there needs to be provisions made for them. You can't be a church today without taking care, good care, of the financial investment that's made in it. And it goes on. All of these things, every single church needs. And so when we build, we ensure that we put all of those systems that are necessary for a healthy church into place, because every church needs them. Every church needs them. I spoke to someone just this week who is apparently working at what will be one of the new billion-dollar companies in America. Their strategy, this thing called central procurement. They've recognized that companies need certain things, and that if one person actually secures these things for a lot of people, you can drop the price and actually offer more value. They were telling me this, and I said, man, you're 6 years too late. We've been doing this at Central for 6 years. I didn't realize it was a billion-dollar idea. I hope you're getting the point here. The intention is exactly the same, but the attention to detail, the commitment to stay the course, the commitment to constantly try and resource these churches with what they need, even when it forces us to change the way we do it, is a commitment you make when you commit to build. Let me ask you this. How many of you want to grow your marriage or build your marriage? How many of you want to grow your kids or build your kids? This is where this gets real, right? The commitment to build a home, to build a family, is not the same thing as a commitment to grow a home or grow a family. The commitment to grow your business at some point has to result in a commitment to build your business, which, if you're really successful, will result in a commitment to what? Build your brand. They're not the same thing. What we want to see over the next 5 years is these churches that we have started to build start to do for others what we have done for them. And I just want to say, we couldn't do this without all of your help. I was talking to a pastor the other day who had a multi-site church, and he's thinking, how do I transition this? He heard about what we were doing, and he started to speak to me. And he said, so tell me, how big is the investment that you have in the sites that you have, in the locations that you have? And I said, pretty high. And he said, hundreds of thousands? And I went, no, a little higher than that. Think about Captivate Church San Diego. Pastor Weston, he's been up here a number of times, great guy. We were with him right in the beginning, right when he started. That ministry grew 200, 300. 50% of those initially actually came to faith in Christ. Started to realize that they needed a facility they couldn't afford to do. And so you know what we did? We invested $4 million in order to give that church a home. See, the commitment to build is the commitment to do whatever it takes to sacrifice even your own needs at times, in order to make sure that they thrive and survive. Jesus said, I'll build my church. He didn't say he'd plant it. That doesn't mean to say planting is wrong, but I do believe that if we want the Church of Jesus Christ to grow strong, planting is not enough, it takes more. And as you invest yourself in the lives of other people with that commitment to help them build, it changes you. And we're changing too. We're changing the way we do things. We've had to change the way we do our church management software because the one that we used worked really well for churches of this size, but it didn't work well for the medium-sized churches that we build, so we had to change. Our online giving platform is changing. Why? Because we've worked out that there's a better way of doing it. We didn't change for change's sake. We changed because these churches that we built needed the change. See, when you love someone and you want to build something, you do whatever it takes for them to be strong. To build requires a willingness to be broken. And that really leads to this second thing that Jesus says about the church. Jesus says, hey, tell it to the church. I will build my church. And then he says, tell it to the church. Now, this portion of scripture is Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. And in Matthew 18, Jesus is talking about the lost sheep. And in Matthew 18, the lost sheep isn't someone who doesn't know him. The lost sheep is actually someone who does know him and is drifting off. Okay? And that's the context. And this is what we read here. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you'll have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Do you see this? If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. There's the process here, right? Dealing with conflict, dealing with issues that are there, that have the ability to tear people apart. Tell it to the church. And then it says, if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. By the way, how does Jesus treat tax collectors? How did Jesus treat pagans? But the point is pretty clear here. That's a process. If there's relational conflict, try and work it out. If you can't, bring one person or two people. If it's still not worked out, then bring it to the church. When Jesus talks about tell it to the church, he's talking about organization, and he's talking about this thing called sanctification, being made holy. Jesus wants his church to be built. As the seeds of the gospel start to bear fruit in our lives, it starts to grow, then the work of the Spirit of God is to bring the church together into living stones. And when you start to do that, there's the friction. And when the friction is there, hey, wait a minute, there has to be this body of believers to help us work this thing through. Organization and sanctification. Now, on the organization part, what we do challenges people in a number of ways. Those people who don't like multi-sites, so you're familiar multi-sites, it's one church, multiple locations, often they have the sermon of the pastor that's simulcast into another room. The music can be the same. Sometimes a multi-site actually has a live preacher, but the preaching is exactly the same. Okay, the critics of a multi-site movement actually say, hey, wait a minute, they don't fulfill the six qualifications that makes a local church a local church. They don't fulfill it. There are six components, they point out, at least. Firstly is, they need to gather for worship. What does that basically mean? A group of believers who meet together in a coffee shop is not the church, right? There's a number of reasons for that. Usually, if you meet with a group of other people in a coffee shop, you're doing that by invitation only. The gathering of the saints is open to all. But you gather for worship. Secondly, there is that commitment to local leaders. This is where the sticking point comes for many of them. Local leaders leading local congregations. Critics of the multi-site movement basically say, hey, wait a minute, there's not a local leader leading that local church. It's actually a guy who maybe, you know, miles away from anyone doing that. That's not scriptural. In our movement, that's not the case. We may be one legal entity, but the reality is we have local leaders leading local churches in strategic places around the world. In fact, today, we're announcing that Elijah Shemenda is the new pastor of Overflow Church in Benton Harbor. It's one of our churches. Elijah is an African American, been ministering in Buffalo, and today in Benton Harbor, we will be announcing that he will be taking over from Pastor Brian Bennett. Before I came up, Pastor Brian sent me a text, and his parents still attend the church, and he says, we're so thrilled with that. But we have worked together with the local leaders there to find who God was calling. local leadership. Thirdly, there's the administration of the sacraments. To be a church, there has to be the sacraments. There needs to be baptism. There needs to be the Lord's Supper. Fourthly, there has to be pastoral care. Fifthly, there has to be discipleship. Sixth, there has to be that commitment to equip the saints. This is what makes a local church a local church. That's the organization. In all of our locations, we build all of this into all of them. We're one faith family, but we exist in multiple locations at the same time. There is that organization that happens, but this is what I want to bring it home. At the same time, this passage in Matthew chapter 18 also talks about the need for sanctification, the need to be made holy. Here's the point, I think, and this is, for me, the real challenge that the church faces in America right now, with the possibility of being divided on so many different lines. I think what God wants to do is God wants to draw us back to his heart. Being a Christian is actually about having a dynamic relationship with God that changes who we are, changes who we're becoming, and actually changes the relationships with the people that we enjoy. It then partners us together in a local expression of his body where we are being put right and become a part of his putting right project in the world. That's what it means to be a part of the church. But it begins and ends, it succeeds or fails by our willingness to actually become more like Jesus. The level to which the church can thrive in the emerging America is directly related to the degree to which we are willing to become more like Jesus in our own personal lives. As I was thinking about this and about what it meant, I was actually in Wales, privileged to go see my mother in Wales, and my aunt came over, and I'm sitting there looking at Matthew 18, 15, tell it to the church, and I'm like, Jesus, what does this actually mean? And my aunt comes through the door, my aunt Val, and she says, Craig, I want to tell you a story. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm really preparing my sermon, but okay. And she says, yeah, I was in bed a little while ago, and God woke me up, and I heard these words, tell it to the church. I'm like, what? She had no idea what I was working on. I'm like, what? She said, yeah, God woke me up and said, tell it to the church. I said, tell what to the church? She said, Malachi. Malachi. She said, yeah, I was sitting there, I'm sleeping, and then all of a sudden I wake up and it's tell it to the church. Tell what to the church? Lord, Malachi. Malachi, that book about tithing? I'm not going to stand up and tell the church about tithing, God. Malachi. So she said, Craig, I got up from my bed, I went into the kitchen, and I basically started to read through Malachi, and I realized that God, I got to that part in the book where it actually talks about giving God our best, and I realized that's what he wanted his church to know. I said, so what did you do, right? She said, I picked up the phone, and I called the pastor, arranged a meeting, I met with the pastor, and the pastor said, you won't believe this, this is what the leaders of the church have been saying, that God wants us to tell the church. So on Sunday, he said, you're going to stand up in front of the church and all you're going to do is just tell them what it is that God told you to say. She said, my knees were knocking. I was so freaked out. A little while later, one of those elders came to her and said, you know, that what you shared made all the difference in the world. This church is far healthier than it's ever been because people are giving God their best. What's the point here? Tell it to the church. Tell it to the church. There's about an organization, but there's also about a sanctification. I looked at my aunt and I said, Aunt Val, do you know what I'm studying right now? She says, no. I said, I'm in Matthew 18. And she's like, and? And then I read that verse. And I said, there I am wondering what tell it to the church means. And you've just shown me. God has just sent you in here to show me exactly what this means. It means organization and it means a commitment to be more like Christ. But here's what I learned. That commitment for you and I to become more like Christ doesn't happen. Now, it can happen easily, but the work to become more like Christ is actually never quick. It's hard work. While I was in Wales, some of my family members got together, and I'm sitting there listening to them have a conversation, and I'm sitting there listening, and I'm getting slightly freaked out. I'm getting freaked out because, they were so passionate. I'm sitting there listening to them going, good Lord, am I like that? And then they're just having this conversation, but I'm sitting there thinking, I've been away too long. Oh, Lord, I am like that. So I prayed about it, and I went home and I told Vipke, and I said, Vipke, you know, I just sat there and I told her about this conversation here going on and what it made me feel like. And I said, you know what? I think that some people feel like that when they're around me. And she's like, duh. So I'm like, you know, God wants me to change all of that because I can't lose my passion, but I can't be so passionate that it just pushes people backwards. I just need to change here. And I'm like, but you know, the only problem is I've been like this for years. That's what Welsh people are like. And I said, if I've been like this for years, I'm not going to get out of it quickly, am I? Very next day, I'm in a meeting with Pastor Mike, some of the leaders from the church, and they're asking me some questions. And I went into that meeting thinking, okay, we got some big topics here, but I need to just basically be passionate and show conviction. But I basically need to do this, Lord, in a way that doesn't actually make people feel like I felt when I was with my family in Wales. So we're going through all of this, and at one point, Pastor Mike says, well, since we've got Craig in a good mood, I'm like, good mood? I'm never in a bad mood. But I just realized in that moment that this work to become more like Jesus is actually something that's going to happen over time. What's the point here? You know what? In order for these churches to grow well, it's not going to be fast. Growing fast and growing well and not always the same thing. And I just realized, and I don't know whether that's true for you, but I reckon it is. I wonder how many of you have identified issues in your life, those things, or had them pointed out to you, and you think, okay, God, I want to change this. And then you pray about it, and nothing changes. Or at least not quickly. Or you do well for the first day, maybe a diet, right? Do it well for the first 3 or 4 days, and then you fall back into the old habits. Listen, God's commitment to build, actually means that he's constantly going to be moving those pieces around. And what he wants us to know is, listen, to be built well doesn't always mean that you will grow fast. Sometimes growing well requires that we're broken. 6 months after Vipke and I were married, we moved to Germany, and I met Birgit Lehmann. Now, Birgit was a teenager, but Lord, she was tall. I'm talking so tall, she made one of those Dutch sixth graders look below average. She was tall. I've never seen a teenage girl that tall. Well, it turned out that she was growing so quickly, she wasn't growing healthy. So her parents took her to the doctor, and it was discovered that through a genetic disorder or some kind that she was actually growing too quick. And so what they recognized was if they brought her in for surgery, and I think it was break her knees, she would stop growing. And so they took her in for surgery to stop her growing fast, because growing fast was the opposite of growing well. Birgit is still tall. She is still tall, but she is well because she was broken in order to grow right. I'm going to invite our team back. They're going to sing a song some of you may have heard of, probably most of you haven't. It's brand new. As I've just been processing this, what it means to be built. God is telling me, look, for the Church of Jesus Christ to be built right, we need to stick at it and not walk away from it. As a church, organizationally, we are committed to doing that with churches across the world. And friends, what's exciting is we're starting to see the growth. Captivate Church, now 1,000 people, with 500 people of those come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Ukraine, reaching more and more people, but I tell you, it's slow, it's hard, it's time-consuming. But what God is revealing to me is that's the work of discipleship. We're into organizational discipleship. That's basically what we do, but it only works when you and I are committed to deal with the stuff that God is bringing to our attention. I've shared mine with you. What's yours? The reason this song struck me was because it captured, I believe, what Jesus is doing in his church right now. The song is called Resurrender. And it basically talks about Jesus walking into the temple and turning over tables. He's breaking people in order to make them whole. I don't know what God is working out in your life. I don't know the strength of your relationships. I don't know the hope for your marriage or for your children, but I do know this. To grow well is going to take time. To grow well is the opposite of sometimes of growing fast. As you listen to the words in this song, surrender. Surrender. Because if we have any hope for the nation through the church, that basically means that you and I need to become more like Jesus first. So friends, we surrender. Surrender what you need to and allow God to build you into that living testimony of his grace. Just listen to this song, and I pray that God will minister to you through it.
You're turning all the tables and calling for return to our lives upon the altar, the things we did at first. You're clearing out the temple, you're cleaning out the dirt, for we are your territory, Lord, we are your church. We are your people, you are our God. We are your temple, make us holy like you are. Chosen generation of people called to praise. So help us, God, to please you where only you can see. For every moment matters in eternity. We are your people. God. surrender. So we resurrender your call. We're coming, we're not walking, we're running. God, we resurrender. So we resurrender your call.
As you go through your week, will you remember to pray for the church? Jesus said he's building his church. Pray for the church. And as you pray for the church, our prayer for you is that you would go and be the church. What does being the church look like? Being the church means that we have receptive hearts to the gospel and to the growth of the gospel in our own hearts that makes us more like Jesus, and that we commit to allow this gospel growth to result in us being fashioned, changed, molded, shaped, filled in such a way that our lives make a difference to the lives of other people. It means that we are committed to being living stones, recognizing that as God builds his church, friction is inevitable, and that we will respond to that friction in a God-honoring, Christ-like way for the sake of his kingdom and his glory in the world. Go be the church. And let's make sure that in all of our relationships, our marriages, our families, our friendships, that we don't just plant and run, check in to see whether someone's okay. No, we ultimately stick at it, stick with it, and never give up, because God never gives up on you. Go be the church. Go live like Jesus, go love like Jesus, and go in fashion like Jesus.